Everybody to the board meeting of the Sevier School District. Today is Wednesday, August 12th, 2026. It's 3 o'clock and we are meeting in the Sevier District Office. Those in attendance are board members Rick Orr, Jill Porter, Vice President Ryan Savage, Jack Hansen, and myself, John Foster. From the administration, we have Superintendent Dr. Kay Douglas, Assistant Superintendent Mike Willis, Business Administrator Chad Lloyd is not present, but will be along shortly, and Executive Secretary Krista Nielsen. We'll start off with the preliminary. We'll have asked Kate Douglas to take care of that for us.
Our Father in Heaven, we are grateful for the opportunity that we have to meet together this day. We're so grateful for thy hand in our lives and for the guidance that we strive to receive from thee. Grateful for the blessing and goodness that come from thee. We're grateful for our board members and for their dedicated service, their involvement in our community, and for their concern and support of the students in our schools. We're so grateful for the teachers and support staff and leaders that we have in our schools. We pray for their safety, pray for their patience and perspective and continued efforts to do what's best for the children in our area. We pray a special blessing to be with the youth in our area, those that attend our schools and the children. We pray for their safety, continued protection. We pray that our community members will have level heads and continue to support and work together for our community, that the adults in the community will continue to become involved in the schools and be positive in their efforts to solve problems with us. And we pray for thy help in our meeting today, that we will make good decisions, that we'll be able to think clearly and do thy will. And we, again, are so grateful for the valley that we live in here, and we are grateful for those men and women that serve and protect us, and pray for their continued safety as well. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to thank everybody for being here. It seems like it's been a long time since we've been together as a board. Good to see everybody. We'll start off with the consent agenda. Is there any comment or any discussion on any of the items in the consent agenda?
I just had one quick question. The notification received from the juvenile courts, is that just something they sent us that they want us to have in there?
Yeah, so this is a new... These policies that you're seeing are based on most recent legislation. So we've talked about this, how the legislature passes new laws and then we respond and are required to draft new policies. This particular policy, we actually use Patrick Tanner. He's the attorney for the Utah School Boards Association. And it's one of a real benefit that we receive through the USBA, where he drafts policies according to the law. This one, we didn't make hardly any changes. We just took his draft policy that meets the law and adopted it fully. Several of the policies, we'll look at that draft and then other district drafts and make sure that we're in compliance with the law, but we make them our own. This has been a program that's been in place for several years, and it just continues to get better. A juvenile that lives in our area or has attended our schools is adjudicated through the courts, we receive notification. Then I work with our student services director, Nolan Anderson. He reaches out to the principal and makes them aware. some of the students have reentry plans that come with them. This particular policy, the new law, I think the biggest meat of the new law was ensuring that other students are safe. So if there's a particularly dangerous student, that we have lots in place to either not allow them into schools and provide their education in other ways, or have reentry plans to ensure that everyone maintains the safety. So that's what most of those, well, every policy you see is either an adjusted policy to meet the new law or a new policy.
I could just tell this one is written differently than the other stories. Wondering where it came from.
Yep, that's what it is. Great question.
Any other comments or discussion? I'd like to call everybody's attention to student recognition. South Sevier students won the America 250 essay contest. South Sevier High School student Greedy Mitchell and South Sevier Middle School student Talon Embry were selected as the grand prize winners. Both students were recognized at an awards assembly and awarded a $1,000 scholarship. That's terrific. We're proud of these students from South Sevier. Any other items in our consent agenda? If not, then I would entertain a motion that we accept the consent agenda as it stands.
I'll make the motion.
Seconded.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item will be items from the board. We have on our schedule, we have the Snow College Scholarship Benefit Dinner on September 23rd. Krista, do you need to take a count?
Yeah, and I can get a hold of you if you don't know for sure.
Just wanted to mention, I will likely be out of town, and I've never missed that. I feel kind of bad, but I was going to see if Mike could possibly attend, Mike or Chad. So I still want to support it. It's super important. In fact, we've talked Q's into supporting it as well. They now buy a table, and several of the superintendents from the Q's region are planning to attend. So I'm hoping we can still support it and be a presence there. But I very likely won't be there.
If you'd like to leave me a check, I could buy whatever bid on something.
Yeah,
like
that. That's a good idea. Maybe I won't get outbid. I guess I am kind of a cheap guy, but I was willing to pay plenty, and I just got outbid again. what I felt was a pretty fair bid. As it gets closer, I'll update you. I think I'm 90% sure I won't be able to make it. Hopefully, Krista can check in with each of you and we can go from there.
Our second point is the Q's Region Legislative Collaboration Meeting, September 30th, 6 p.m. at the Circleville Elementary School. Do you want to drive individually?
I think it'd be fun to meet together like we've done in the past, and we can get a van from the high school. Can you help us on that? Just to get a van range, if there's one available. What do you think? Meet here at what time, Chad? 5:15?
Yeah, I'm not sure how long it takes to.
It's probably 5.
Probably an hour.
We met at 5, would be okay. Let's plan on that. And then just to clarify, that one's just board members. I know sometimes we invite spouses along, that one's just a board member function, but hopefully we can drive over together.
Remind you about the back to school bash that's coming up for the superintendent. Remind us about that. Administration. Nothing else, and we'll move along to the next item, which is items from the administration. Superintendent Douglas.
Like I got in a fight. I'm just getting to that age where about every year I have to go have spots burned off my face by the dermatologist, so that's what that is. real fun to deal with. But so I didn't get in a fight, it was just spots. My items that I do want to remind you first off about the back to school bash and our opening institute. Krista created a little flyer for that. I'm excited. I've been in touch with the former teachers that are going to be presenting at Opening Institute, and I'm so excited to hear from them. We've called it Reflections and Reminders from a Lifetime in Education, and I really think it'll be a lot of fun to hear from them and just hear their perspectives at this point, looking back on their careers in service to kids and children. It'll be a great day. And then, as always, the Monday after the first day, which is August 24th at 5:30, we'll do the back-to-school bash. We're continuing to see good participation in that. I think most families really appreciate it, and it's a lot of fun just to get together. Also wanted to thank Krista for all of her hard work on our annual video. It takes a ton of work. I think the hardest part is getting the pictures from the principals. It's just constantly reminding them to send pictures and take pictures throughout the year, but that video is really fun because we play it throughout the back-to-school bash. But hoping you can all attend and participate in that. My second item, I always include our principal's goal-setting sheet, leadership, self-assessment, growth plans, school improvement, professional learning plans. This is a key piece in holding ourselves accountable every year at every school. So each principal responds with all of these different self-assessments, growth plans, goal-setting sheets. It's kind of their roadmap for the year. We review those very carefully, and we talk to them. I want to thank Mike Willis for his hard work. He's constantly out meeting with principals and assistant principals and having the crucial conversations. They're always friendly. I mean, we have such a great rapport in our district, but they're very crucial and critical conversations. They're not always comfortable conversations about things we can do better, constantly striving for improvement. So I just always include a copy of that. My third item, I just wanted to update you, our district website, school registration. Wanted to thank Craig, Curtis, and Miguel Echeverria, our two programmers, have really done some fantastic work to continue to improve registration for students and families, as well as assurances for employees. It's becoming a very difficult thing to manage, and Krista constantly is tracking those registrations for each school. Parents have to sign off on certain things every year as required by law, and employees have to sign off on certain trainings. It's one frustration we have that I've been talking a lot about up on the Hill is they have heard us that one of our greatest needs for teachers is to provide time for them to prepare, just preparation time. And they stepped up big a few years ago with two additional contract days for teachers. But then those days have been taken away by requiring hours and hours and hours of training that the teachers have to take each year. So it's a little frustrating that for the first year it was wonderful. Teachers had time to catch their breath and plan and do work in their classrooms. And now there's so many different trainings that are required that the majority of that time gets eaten up. So we're going to continue to ask for more time. So we have seen some things that have improved. For example, required training on, I don't know, you could name, there's probably 7 or 8 different required trainings for teachers on various topics. Some of them now are only required every 3 years or every 2 years. So we're going to continue to work with the legislature to find some relief we do need well-trained and well-prepared teachers, but we also they need wiggle room and time to do their job. So, I also wanted to we've really seen improvements on our website. It's clear. It's easy to navigate. I've updated the superintendent's scoop. Binderly is still very, very essential. It's number one, a safe place. Our employees are all aware that you do not communicate with students in any other way other than Binderly, because there's more than one adult monitoring and involved in communications with students. It's also a great way to keep in touch with parents. It's like a social media platform that they can see the good things going on in the schools. Most of our schools do a pretty good job kicking out pictures and updating the communities at each school with Binderly. I know you're all familiar with it. I won't take the time to show you, but if you want to, you know, see, just really feel good about what's going on in schools, and I do it. If I'm having a bad day, sometimes I'll just jump on Binderly and look at the schools, and it makes me feel better. There are so many wonderful things going on every single day in schools. We still don't do enough of it. We really ought to have teachers sharing at least one post a week. Some teachers are really good at it. Some schools are really good at it. But it's one of the principles that we believe in, is that we need to share our story and share the positive. Otherwise, it seems like in society today, those empty spots get filled by negative. So Binderly is a key piece of that. My fourth item is actually really exciting. I think I've spoken on this, but maybe I haven't given you enough of an update. Last year, about a year and a half ago, I was in leadership in the Superintendents Association, and there's four of us. So there's a past president, president, vice president, you know, there's four. And I was at the time, I think I was the vice president, and the four of us got kind of voluntold by the legislature that we were going to be in a pilot for service. Remember, the original proposal from the governor and lieutenant governor was to require service as graduation credit. We were able to help them understand, hey, let's not do that. Let's find other ways to make service more important, more strategic for students and families. Anyways, we're basically a year and a half into this now, where we are one of four districts piloting, and it has been really a blessing. It's a really positive thing. One of my core values that I've been taught ever since I was young by my parents is, if you're having a bad day, or you're not feeling good about things, or you're sad or depressed, go serve. Go serve other people, and better yet, serve them without them knowing that you served them. Try to do it in a way that is something you can do for someone without receiving any credit for yourself. And our students in schools, our four high schools, have really taken hold of this opportunity. And we've received a little bit of funding to help us. We have service coordinators at each of the schools that function on a very part-time, limited hours basis. But they're navigating and looking for service opportunities. One of the pieces I love the most is reflection on service. And we have a platform, a technology platform, that helps students track their hours and reflect on the service. So every good teacher knows that closure to a lesson is super, super important. If you teach a great lesson and then you don't have any closure, a lot of times the kids just leave and it's gone. But if you have a way to reflect on the learning, or what was learned, it sinks in and it sticks. So this program that we utilize tracks what the students did and how they felt when they served. And it's been really powerful. The numbers have come in from last year, and it's super impressive. So for our district, with our four high schools, all four high schools are participating. We have just over 71% of our students that are fully engaged in this, which is good. We'd like to see 100%, because we know what service can do for kids. And they've actually put a dollar amount. We've had over 8,000 hours of service that students have documented. We knew that, I'm sure we had a lot of service going on in Utah and in Sevier County before we started tracking. But they put a dollar amount that the service rendered by our students is almost $300,000 worth of service. And there's been some wonderful opportunities serving younger, you know, older students, serving younger students, visiting care centers. I mean, any type of service you can think of. They've done some projects with the BLM. They've done just wonderful service opportunities to help others, and then they're reflecting on it. And we all know it's why we do what we do in schools. When you're tracking something and monitoring it, you tend to value it more, and you become more strategic and deliberate in your service. So one of our major goals, we know that we have amazing, well-rounded, outstanding students that are serving. We want to get every single student serving in our district. And it's been a good program. It's been an additional thing on everyone's plates, which has been tough. There's been struggles and challenges with it, but overall it's been really, really positive, and I thought it was pretty impressive as the numbers came through. Several other districts are now wanting to implement service. One of the areas we need to do a better job is celebrating it and letting our community know that we're doing this, that it's been a real positive. So, any questions on that?
How do we see that?
Those hours and those...
Who's involved in it?
Okay, yeah, so they...
By school?
Yeah, we have the data by school. The reports I receive are just by district. I have a presentation that I presented to all the other superintendents 2 months ago. Jennifer Christensen, our CTE director, she's overseeing the project because it actually has some really good alignment with CTE.
Mm-hmm.
And she, in that presentation... It's got pictures and it's showing all the different, the kids in action, the things that they're doing. North Sevier, for example, the whole NS project, we really tried to align it to this as much as possible, and we actually received a little bit of funding through this to help with that project. And it was really cool. Principal Harris sent some pictures of those community members up there working on the NS. I know there was some controversy. People just wanted the S for Salina, and others were very clear they wanted NS, that it's kind of a school.
It's going to cause me a wreck.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see it up there for a long time. Whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, it looks really sharp. It was re-engineered. There's some exciting things that have happened with the service. But I could even... I'll share with you my presentation. I'll just email out that presentation and kind of take a look.
Well, that would be nice, especially when at the end of the school year when we try to choose who your scholarship winner is, you could go back and kind of look at some of them that
you've
done throughout the year.
Glad you brought that up, because some of the funding, other districts, and we were too late in the game, but other districts that are piloting it have created additional scholarships using the funding for students. We'd like to do that. We need to do it. It's just we came up with the idea after it was too late. I don't like to do scholarships or awards without clarifying the criteria before day one. So it's fair to everyone involved. But the other concern we had was we want service to be self-driven. We don't want kids to do it because they know they're going to get a scholarship per se. We want them to do it because it's the right thing to do. So we're trying to find balance. But we are very much considering some scholarship opportunities while we have the funds. It's not something that'll stay funded forever, but this pilot's been a pretty positive thing. Thanks for bringing that up. And yeah, I'll try to give you more data. I think my favorite part of the whole thing is when the students do little, just simple self-reflections about what they felt and learned. Pretty good stuff. The other one, item number 5, that I love this stuff, school merits. So again, one of my favorite quotes is, you get what you expect and inspect. So when you truly inspect and value and start measuring growth in an area is when you really see focus and strategy. And this merit, we call it our school merits for lack of a better term. What it is when we deliberately send communication home, it's usually a postcard, to parents when their students do something great. I know in our home, my daughter's a student that she'll be going into 7th grade at Red Hills Middle. And last year she received 3 of these cards at different times. And it's just a teacher that's taken the card and said, hey, you did a great job in this area. Thanks so much for helping another student, or whatever that might be. and it's mailed home to the family. And the, I mean, those hung on our fridge the whole year. We still have one hanging in our fridge. It really is a positive. It's wonderful when you communicate home with positive, not just negative. Some of the principals and teachers are calling home, and sometimes it's interesting because the parents are like, okay, what did Cade do now? And it's like, hey, he actually did something great. I'm calling to tell you thanks. He did something great. The cool thing is we started tracking these numbers. So we had 10,216 positive notes sent home last year in our school district, which I just love. I'm so proud of that. That means every student surely got one. Most students got two or three. The prior year, we were at 6,000. The prior year, we were at 6,000. Before that, 4,500. So this year, we really accelerated. And I truly believe in my heart and soul that communicating home positively with parents and students will do more for our academics than anything else. It's a powerful piece of success in our schools. So I love that. I didn't know if you were aware that we track that, monitor that, and we're getting better and better at doing that work. So positive communication is really helpful. Any questions on any of those? My discussion items, number one, I just wanted to mention the Rural Schools Conference. We always take all of our principals, Principal Blackner from Richfield High and Principal Hepworth from South Sevier High, both presented at the conference. And talking to our principals who attended, those were their favorite presentations. I thought that was pretty cool. They learn a lot from each other, and it's amazing the good things that are going on in our district. The keynote that I enjoyed the most, his name was Brad Montague, and we're going to see if we can't get him for maybe one of our opening institutes down the road. But I don't know if you're familiar with the Kid President. It's, if you Google Kid President, it's really fun. He's the mastermind behind Kid President. He's kind of the producer of that. He's written a few books. I'll be talking more about him at Opening Institute. But one of the quotes that he shared that I wrote down, I just love it. I feel the same way. He said, "Be who you were needed when you were younger." Basically, be the kind of teacher, kind of person that you needed when you were younger. And we all needed that extra caring adult. So I think we'll keep him on our radar, and you'll hear more. I'm going to read one of his books that he wrote at Opening Institute, like I like to do. I gave you my second item, a copy of What Great Teachers Do Differently. I'm very excited. Todd Whitaker has always been one of my educational heroes. I'm going to have him autograph the book when we get him here. Like, he's awesome. He's a veteran expert. This book details 19 different things that great teachers do. What makes a great teacher? Some of the 19, focus on people, not programs. Say what you mean what you say. Prioritize behavior prevention over revenge. And we talk about that all the time in our schools with our principals, is we want to do positive prevention and reinforcement, not punitive. Those types of things. Focus on students first. Create positive classroom atmospheres. Monitor student comfort levels. There's just some really good principles that are backed up with really great stories in the book. You'll enjoy reading it. It's a great book. We're going to probably study it for 2 years. Next, not this January, but the next, when we have our next Midwinter Institute, we're going to try to, we've already got it booked, I think. We're planning on him. He'll come and present. We're face-to-face with our principals and teachers, and we'll likely figure out a way to have him come back, and like we've done in the past, have him come and spend time in our schools with our principals and teachers. So I'm excited about it. I think it'll be a really good refocus on instruction and teachers. Any questions on any of those? I just wanted to mention the new look on our vision, mission, and goals. We're really excited. We've kind of rebranded. There's not major shifts because we're still not there. We still have a gap from where we are and where we need to be with the vision, mission, and goals. But the teachers are excited about it. We've created these new signs that hang in the schools. We've created the classroom signs that are small, so every single teacher has them front and center in their classroom. We've made a few small tweaks. You know how hard we've worked on we don't just teach, we ensure students learn. On our old vision, it had teaching crossed out. We were trying to be very bold and help teachers realize that they're not hired to teach. We softened that a little because I think we have closed the gap, and it's actually a little more clear. It just says we go beyond teaching, we ensure students learn. And I think that's more easy, a little easier for teachers to understand what we're trying to do. But we're excited. If you look on our website, you've got the vision, mission, and goals. Then you have all the initiatives. They're all lined up. It's a little more simple. Wanted to thank Krista and Shiloh, worked really hard on that. Really rebranding it, making it look crisp. And Krista's been gluing these up all over the place, and printing them and getting them out to teachers. I'll talk more about it at Opening Institute, but I'm excited for it. I think it'll re-energize our vision, mission, and goals. Last thing on my list is the JLC priorities. I just gave you a draft. Jack attended this year. I wasn't able to attend, but they were actually pretty smooth. We didn't have quite as much controversy as we sometimes do with board members and superintendents. Just wanted to give you a copy of that draft. And that's what we'll stick to and push really hard for this legislative session. We'll be bringing it up when we do our meeting at Circleville Elementary. We've already sent it out to most of the representatives and senators. I spent a lot of time last week meeting with the Speaker of the House, just navigating the legislative issues as they arise. So, any questions for me? That's all that I had. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent. Mr. Lewis.
See if we can get the air going in here. It's a little dead, isn't it? It's kind of dead air in here. Been a while since we've been in here. It's old air.
Okay. Hope I don't sound like a broken record. A lot of these things I just want to reintroduce. New year. I can tell it's a new year, not by the calendar, but by how many parents I'm having to talk to on a daily basis lately. So it means the new year is here, and parents are interested in their child's education. So first off, starting with some of the things that we'll be doing next week to prepare our teachers for the kids coming. We're starting with a new teacher training on August 19th, 8:30. So just a reminder, this used to be a full two-day seminar, if you will, and now training, and it was brutal way back when. We've fine-tuned it. We work with them pretty much throughout this day, and then we have follow-up sessions, three follow-up sessions afterwards. So it's a lot to go over in a two-day stint. They feel very overwhelmed. They're trying to get a new classroom ready and jump in with the right attitude. And if we overwhelm them too much, sometimes they lose a little bit of that excitement for the first day. And so we've learned that if we cover what we need to and we try and pump them up, I know the superintendent does a good job with presenting our district in a very positive light with them and getting them excited about being here, and then we train them. We use our curriculum council members that I'll go over here in a second with you. And then we save a few things, and then if they formulate questions in the upcoming months, we do about an hour to 2 hour training, three separate times, one each month for the following 3 months after our new teacher training. Our efforts are to support all the new teachers. We give them their mentor teacher, who is the assistant principal basically, and they are required to spend time working with them and helping them, and if they have questions or they need some advice or they need some training, so forth, they need to go see other teachers, whatever it might be, the principals and the assistant principals have been really good to help with that. And so it's a very valid part of what we do with the new teacher training. Our goal is to hire the best and retain the best. And a lot of times if we burn them out right out of the gate without the support, then that defeats our purpose. So that's our plan, and that's what we've done, and it seems to have it's done us well. So we're excited to get this new batch. It isn't as many. We didn't have as many retirees last year, and so it's not as many as we normally have, a few less, but we have some great prospects, really, really good people that we're excited to have come on board and be a part of our district for the sake of our kids. So that will be on the 19th, and then, like I said, let me just show you real quick. We also invite our principals and mentor teachers or assistant principals to come in and do a working lunch on that day. And the goal is that you'll see all these checklists. This is for the principal, I believe, or no, the mentor checklist here, and then the principal's checklist. All these items are just things that prep the principals and the mentors to go over and make sure they're ready to answer any questions along those lines, and so they're prepared to discuss these things with them. And then if the new teachers have additional questions that pertain mostly to the schools, then they have that opportunity to sit with them and discuss those things. It's really a welcoming way to do it, we found. It's not intimidating. We try and make it as user-friendly as possible, and it's, like I said, it served us well. These are the additional days. You see that people from the district office, we give them assignments to kind of go over other aspects of the district. There's so many things that they have to learn and know about. So it's been a good program, and we're excited to continue that with our new teachers and help support them. Okay. And then Superintendent mentioned our opening institute. I just wanted to point out just remind you who our curriculum council specialists are in the district for secondary math. We have Melissa Walcott. I'll introduce them at opening institute as well. Peyton Ashby, secondary language arts. Jessica Ivey, let me change that real quick. She is actually social studies. Peyton Ashby is over the social studies. Jessica Ivey is secondary language arts. Amy Moore is science. Ashley Larson is elementary math this year. And Amy Nielsen is elementary language arts, which incidentally will be our textbook adoption for this year. So we're gearing up for that as well. Moving on down the line, I mentioned that we didn't have as many. If you took time to go over that graph there, you'll see that we have 26 new assignments, but that doesn't mean that we have 26 new teachers. We have a lot of shifting. One person that's been in the district for a number of years might become an assistant principal or a principal, and a lot of shifting. It's the shell game, basically. But 12 actual new teachers that will be attending new teacher training for that day. Another thing that I'll be bringing up at our opening institute is the master's degree program, the reimbursement program that we support. We'll be recognizing those from the 25-26 year that received their master's degree in our district. It's something that we believe in. We want our teachers to be well-trained and continue to further their education, and not only for them financially, but also for the fact that we feel like as long as they're learning and growing and becoming better at their craft, it's going to benefit our students in the long run. So we continue to promote things like this so that they can continue to get better and better and sharpen their skills and so forth for, like I said, for our students. We have our individual school assessment data reviews coming up, which we put together a chart that shows all the scores from all the various assessments that we do throughout the year, mostly our end of level from the previous year. It helps us, like Superintendent said, to keep them accountable, and we can sit down with them. It's their opportunity and their responsibility to share with us their data. We give it to them, and then they share it back with us, and where there's places to celebrate and also places that might need extra attention, we can all put our heads together in that meeting and discuss that. We'll be doing that in the next few weeks with all of our schools, our principals, and their administrative teams. It's kind of an ebb and flow. One year you might be really good at something and you might need to make improvements the next year. And so it gives us the opportunity to sit down with them and really push that narrative that, hey, we should always be striving to improve. There's always room for improvement and we need to continue to do that. And so it's just another way that we not only hold their feet to the fire, but give them that responsibility to really look at the data and use it in their meetings, their faculty meetings, their PLC meetings, and all these things that they get with their teams and their teachers. And then they could also, if they see a hole somewhere, it as a good assistant principal or instructional coach and the principal, they really need to focus on what can we do to help this teacher do a better job, and maybe relaying the information or those types of things to where those scores will continue to improve. So this is a great opportunity for us to get in the schools and talk about individual success and areas we can get better at. Last couple of things there. One big push right now due to Senate Bill 241, where you've heard about that one, where by 2030 it's an expectation that a high percentage of our students are on reading level or grade level. And if not, there will be retention. It's kind of a big deal right now. And so we are being very proactive with that. There's money attached to this bill to where there's expectations of professional development and training teachers and so forth. And so we've already jumped kind of in and wrote an MOU, put it out, and or an RFP, rather. And it was we had a lot of great people bid on this to come in and train our teachers along these lines, and it was awarded to Impactful Learning, and they've already got dates in place. I put up there September, November, March, May. It just depends on which school, what day in those months will happen, but Impactful Learning will come in and work with our principals and their teachers on how to address some of those things listed in Senate Bill 241 to make sure that we're ready for when that happens, so that we get those kids where they need to be, and there's no question that we're doing our due diligence to help move that needle. So we're excited for that.
Mentioned one thing, we really, I think you're all familiar with the model where we've been hiring some of the best experts in the world, and certainly in the country. We started the model with Jimmy Casas with CultureEyes, where we actually hired him to come in and mentor principals and assistant principals in elementary, middle, and high school. He spent 2 years working with us and our principals. It was very positive. We realized back then we weren't investing enough in our principals. We were constantly looking for professional development opportunities, professional learning, and growth opportunities for teachers. We wanted to start investing in our leaders. So we had Jimmy Casas, then we had Mike.
Tom Schimmer,
Myron DeWick.
And
we kind of started, we had such a tremendous need in standard-based grading that the last 4 years we've heavily invested in our high school and middle school principals. This is a shift now, taking some of our limited funds and really investing in elementary principals as it relates directly to reading, to improving, sharpening reading instruction, really digging into the data. The target is to have every single student on grade level by third grade, of course. And this SB 241 made it easy. Like, it's expected. We've got to work through to ensure that every single student has quality reading. Superintendent Thorne worked heavily on this. We're in a good place with reading instruction, but we need to refocus, circle back, and really sharpen some of our instruction and our data with reading. So it's a good opportunity. We've invested in secondary principals for the last several years. Now it's an opportunity to invest in elementary principals. And for the most part, they seem to be embracing it. This is a good opportunity to support them in their work. Yeah,
they were very, very welcoming of it. They're excited about it. As a matter of fact, Jill will recognize the name Jennifer Thronson. She is the one that is running, that's her company, is Impactful Learning. So she is no longer with USBE. She was the curriculum specialist over the whole state. Super smart lady and just really good to work with. She's great. It's her company, Impactful Learning, that won the bid, and we'll be working with our principals directly. And I think us jumping on that right out of the gate like that puts us in a really good place, because having Jennifer Thronson working with our teacher, especially her time's going to be limited anyways with all the things she's doing, and so others that think about it after the fact, we've already made those commitments, so we're in a really good place with that. And then just a reminder, Deloitte University, that was the Courageous Principals Conference. We're looking at a second run of that. We went 2 years ago for Courageous Principals 1. We're mostly going for 2, but we do have some new, obviously with turnover, we do have some of our principals that will be in the part 1. Well, simultaneously, the rest of us that have been to part 1 will be going to part 2. So that's an investment with our funds as well that we're excited to, again, like Superintendent said, invest in our principals and try and make them reach their potential the best we can. And then obviously the Solution Tree PLC at Work Conference will be June 8th through the 10th. You'll hear me talk about it all the time because I think it's such a valuable training for our teachers in the district throughout the year. And so we've already purchased the slots for next year and excited for that. So that said, the only other thing up there, number 8, we will be doing, Noel and Anderson and myself will be doing our substitute hiring and training coming up roughly August 31st. And so that'll be one more thing done for the beginning of another year, and we'll kick it off right. So any questions for me? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Willis. Mr. Lloyd.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's go over these items. Let me scroll. What's the one before that? Nothing?
Before it? Let's see. Sorry, this thing is up. That?
Those are by the Google. Where's the Google image?
I think it might be the last one right there. That?
So if you're familiar with Celina at all, across from the middle school parking lot, we own a parking lot that's unfinished. It's, well, maybe it was paved at one time, but the pavement's pretty much gone. There's some apartment buildings there. Can you all see where I've written this property on there?
Yeah.
So it's that little square chunk right there. There's apartment buildings just to the east of that are some old LDS church buildings, and those were recently purchased by a guy in Celina, and he's actually contacted us about purchasing this property. Talking through it with Anthony and the school and just my knowledge of the property is, yeah, I would love to get rid of it. It's kind of a pain in the neck. We've had, over the course of the years that I've been here, we've had weed issues that we've had to go in and clean up. The city's got mad at us. Or we've had homeless people living there in trailers that we've had to go evict. You can see to the north, the top of that property, we do have some storage buildings there. They're old, and I'm not sure what's in them. If we did consider selling the property, we might have to figure out where to relocate those or get some new storage on our actual campus, which there's plenty of room on the campus. That's not really an issue. So what I'm seeking is just, and I have it listed as an action item, is just the ability to pursue selling this. I would like to just get a hold of a reputable agent and have them give me a cost estimate or a value estimate, as well as a write-up on what they feel like the highest and best use of the property is. And if they think it's feasible to just negotiate directly with the person that's interested in the property, or if they think it would be of value to actually list the property. I have my own thoughts on that. It's basically a parking lot for those buildings already, so it's the highest and best use is probably going to say that its best use is being a parking lot for the adjacent rental buildings. But I would like to, like I said, get a hold of somebody that lives in that world, contract with them to give me those things, especially the value, and then move forward with presenting that information to the board next month and deciding if we're willing to sell the property or if we want to list it or how you'd like to proceed. So,
Do the rental properties already use it as their parking lot or what?
Yeah, it's basically been their free parking lot for, probably even back when you were the principal there, right?
Before that, probably 40 years.
Yeah. I don't know that the district's ever actually used it for anything of value.
So. It's the middle school. Is that the middle school or the elementary?
That's the middle school.
Has they got plenty of parking?
Yeah, the big parking lot across the street is probably 3 or 4 times the size of what the middle school actually needs.
I mean, if you have something big going on, is there any need for
events, conferences?
No. Nothing that I'm aware of. I mean, I guess, on the 4th of July, city things, on the 4th of July or something like that parking lot might get used, but I don't know that people realize that that's even a public, they probably think it's a private lot, so I don't know that people park in it much.
The only time you ever see people there is homecoming, when you have the homecoming parade, and like to say that on the 4th of July. That's the only time you ever, the rest of it is where those trees are, the people that live in the apartments park. Right.
It's basically just been their free parking lot anyway. So I actually think that the person that's approached us has, some level of integrity that he feels like he probably should just own the parking lot. But any other questions about that? Otherwise, it'll just be for the end of the meeting for an action item. Okay. My second items are just giving you project updates. North Sevier High School Auditorium is really close to being done. They did have a beginning of year, freshman orientation in there, either today or yesterday. They were able to utilize the space. Ryan gave me positive feedback on that, saying the community members and whatnot that attended that really loved it. Thought it was awesome. All of the lights aren't installed. The house lighting isn't installed. They've been on back order, and we probably won't get them until September. But the sound, the systems, I believe, fully functioning. They were installing all the stage lights when I was there yesterday. So those things are going to be up and running. And I don't think they start their play until kind of the middle of September. So everything should be in line and working by then. We've done a punch list on it, so all those ending things are kind of getting buttoned up. North Sevier Middle School, the administrative remodel, safety remodel, that's essentially done. I can't think of anything that's lingering out there on that job. The storefront's done. The entryway, which we were waiting on some ceiling lights in the entryway and some walk-off mat, those things are all done. It looks great in there. That project turned out really well. That faculty and staff should now have a great space to utilize for faculty meetings or on their prep period or whatever. The admin area just looks great. It's modern. And then the fact that we were able to make it a safe, secure entryway. So kind of hit a home run on that project. It got done right on time. Tusher really did a good job managing that job. Richfield High School track and field project, still mostly in the planning stages of that, especially for the the track and field itself, the bleachers, we have finalized the plans on those, and the plans have actually went out to the subcontractors or bleacher providers, so they're reviewing those plans right now, and we're going to bid that at the end of August, just because we need to get that out and bid before the rest of the project because of the time frame of getting those ordered. They're just a really long lead item. Last, I think Westland told me they're about 200 days out, so we're on track. We should be able to get those ordered and have them here in time for the end of next summer to be able to install. Rest of the items, like just little details on the track, track colors, where electricity needs to be, where water spigots need to be, those things we're kind of working through still with the architects and with Westland and with the school. So probably next board meeting I'll be able to give you an update on the bleacher bid and how that went. Any questions on those items, on projects? Okay. Number three item, I have Tammy come in, but she's actually off today. But we were able to go through the hiring process for Carrie Carter's position, and we had a really great hiring pool. I won't say too much in a public meeting about it, but we had a very competitive pool, but we were able to hire a great candidate in Tammy Hansen. She's a CPA. She's got tons of experience in high-level accounting and governmental accounting, and should be a great replacement for Carrie. Any questions about that?
Does she live here?
She lives in Gunnison.
Oh.
Yeah, she's born and raised in Gunnison. She asked if she could wear her Gunnison High sweatshirt to work, and I told her no. That was the only requirement we had. I think she did show up in it one day, though, so she's already breaking the rules. No, she's great. Yeah, she's from here. She was actually probably our first applicant put in for the job. She saw it and was excited for it, and timing was right. Like, things just seemed to fall into place for her to be able to even apply for the job. So, that's all I have. We do have some things to discuss in closed meeting, and then that action item at the end, I'll need you guys to debate that and take action on it. But thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. So we do have a closed meeting, and the purpose of the closed meeting is to discuss the real estate transaction or what else?
No, just personnel.
Personnel. All right. So, I'd entertain a motion to come out of our open meeting, of our regular meeting, and go into a closed meeting.
I'd make that motion, Mr. President.
Second.
We'll move to the second. We'll do this by voice vote. Mr. Orr?
Yes.
Mrs. Porter?
Yes.
Mr. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Hansen?
Yes.
And I'm a yes. Motion carries. We'll close this meeting. We'll take a short recess. We'll pick it back up in our closed meeting.